Today I'd like to review a topic that might or might not be associated with our Passover examination. And before I get into the specifics of that, let's review some basic facts about the Sabbath day. I did go out to our Life, Hope, and Truth site, and on the website there's actually a study guide that you can download or either read online. It's called Facts About the Sabbath Study Guide. And I'll be starting off with some comments and scriptures from that study guide, but we'll also use some other material from others, articles, as well as past sermons that we've all heard over the years on this most important subject. And then finally, I'd like to tie in how there are important aspects of the Sabbath day that I feel that we are to consider as we approach the upcoming Passover in our self-examination. And while some material may be a review for some, I hope it ultimately ends up with us considering things from perhaps a different perspective that maybe you haven't yet fully realized. I know I didn't grasp this concept until this year. The title for the sermon today is The Sabbath Day in Light of the Passover. The Sabbath Day in Light of the Passover. So before we get to the heart of the message of what the Sabbath day, how it ties into our self-examination, let's first consider what the Bible teaches on the subject of the Sabbath. Let's cover some background that I feel will make the connection more meaningful. The study guide starts out by saying this: the Sabbath is mentioned more than 130 times, both in the Old and the New Testament. Yet most Christians today know little about it. They write, what does God want us to know about the Sabbath? And it goes through the five W's, the who, what, when, where, and why, and of course the H stands for how. But by asking these simple questions, the five W's and the H, we can look for the core facts on just about any subject. So I'd like to use this approach today on this topic concerning God's Sabbath day. Let's start off with the who part. Let's ask the question, who created the Sabbath? Who created the Sabbath? Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Again, I want to bring this, kind of ramp up towards the main topic that I want to discuss today, but I feel it's important to bring this out. I want you to see it with your own eyes here. So thus the heavens and the earth, Genesis 2 and verse 1, and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the work which God had created and made. So we find here that God rested on the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it. He set it apart for a holy purpose. The 24-hour period that begins at Friday night sunset and runs into Saturday night sunset is a special time. It's holy time that God set apart and sanctified. This day is to be different than the other 6 days of the week, in which we're going to discuss momentarily. I'd like to reference Mr. Mike Bennett's article, Which Day is the Seventh Day? You can find this on a Hope Truth, Life, Hope, and Truth site. He writes, yep, most Protestant churches continue to meet on Sunday following the millennia-old tradition of the Catholic Church. However, the Catholic Church recognizes that the change from Saturday to Sunday was not made in the Bible. They point to the authority of the church to make the change, not the Bible. But in the section on the Ten Commandments, the Catholic Encyclopedia says, the church, on the other hand, after changing the day of rest from the Jewish Sabbath, or the seventh day of the week, to the first, made the third commandment. They count it to third, we count it to fourth. They don't like the second commandment, so they did away with it about worshiping idols. And then they moved the third commandment to the second, the fourth to the third, the fifth to the fourth. They get down to number 10, the old number 10, and there's only 9, and so they break it up into the you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and then the 10th one is you shall not covet your neighbor's goods, so they break it up. Since few Christians keep the Sabbath today, many wonder, when was the Sabbath changed? Mr. Bennett writes, the simple answer is that it wasn't changed in the Bible. The Catholic Church claims that it had This is actually from the study guide, sorry. The Catholic Church claims that it had the authority to change the Sabbath to Sunday, and it changed practices and developed traditions over a couple hundred years. In his book, The Faith of the Fathers, James Cardinal Gibbons confirmed the biblical teaching of the Sabbath while explaining the Catholic belief that the church teachings supersede the Bible. Not to mention other examples, is not every Christian obliged to sanctify Sunday and to abstain on that day from unnecessary servile work? They write, it's not the observance of the law among the most prominent of our sacred duties. They write, you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. This is all true. You will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. And this is true. This is from the Project Gutenberg ebook on the Faith of Our Fathers, page 97. So some churches acknowledge that there is no scriptural evidence that the Sabbath was ever changed, but rather believe that they have the power to actually change that. But if God blessed and sanctified the Sabbath day, the seventh day, I strongly prefer to honor that day. Christ also defended the seventh day of the week. Let's go over to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Beginning in verse 23, and it happened when he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, as they went there, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain, and the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? But Christ answered them and said, have you not read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him, they went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest. They ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and he gave some to who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a tool that we should look forward to each and every week. Verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day should be a day of renewal. It's a day of refreshing for us, to pull ourselves away from the hustle and the bustle of life, to get away from all the work and all the noise that comes about us as we go through the other 6 days. The Sabbath is to be a pick-me-up, a boost, a lift, an energizer, a spiritual shot in the arm, if you will. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 28 is often referred to as the blessings and curses chapter, but there's a corollary chapter over in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 26. I'd like to pick up a point from Leviticus chapter 26. And we'll look at verses 1 and 2 here. You shall not make idols for yourselves, nor a carved image for a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land or bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. I am the eternal your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the eternal. So God calls the Sabbath my Sabbath. It's made for man, but it is God's Sabbath. Another point to notice here is that it is a command to reverence my sanctuary. God expects us to reverence his sanctuary and to keep his Sabbath. This should affect our attitudes, our mindsets, our dress, our approach to the Sabbath day. But God is abundantly clear. We don't make idols. We don't worship God however we might want to worship him. Instead, we are to keep his Sabbaths and we are to reverence his sanctuary, his sanctuary. Now let's move to the what part. What is the Sabbath? As we understand, the Sabbath is a weekly holy day, a day of rest, the fourth, not the third, commandment of God's Ten Commandments. Over in Exodus chapter 20, let's pull out a command here. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8, where it talks about the Sabbath day. Again, this is where the Ten Commandments were given. We will reference this a little bit later and pull out some other information here I feel is very important. But Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it. I'm going to give you four principles here under this section of what is the Sabbath section. You know, as time goes on and we come here each and every week, we must be on guard against taking the Sabbath for granted in any way or in any area. You know, as one studies the scriptures, we can find a number of reasons why we are to observe the Sabbath. There are at least four primary principles. The first principle can be pulled out here from Exodus chapter 20 about the Sabbath, and that is we are commanded not to work, or anyone in our house is commanded not to work. We're not to have them work. Those who are under our roof or under our authority, in the case of Job and Abraham, they had servants of old, and none of their servants were to work. They were not to work, nor anybody in their household. Today we might have businesses and employees, and if we do, I think the command is very clear here. Neither us or our employees are supposed to work in that day. Let's notice another passage that addresses this over in Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31 and verse 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on a Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. That's pretty serious. You know, working on a Sabbath brought serious consequences back in ancient Israel. So a second principle that we find about the Sabbath day is that the Sabbath is to be a Sabbath of rest, as we see in verse 15. Of rest, we are to cease from our normal work that we carry out the other 6 days of the week, and we shouldn't just start thinking about the Sabbath when the Sabbath arrives. Friday has been termed the preparation day. There are things that we can do to make the Sabbath more restful and more enjoyable. Perhaps one can make their meals ahead of time, if possible, or fill up your car or your vehicle, whatever it is that you drive, so you don't have to stop on the way to church. Those who speak don't start on working on their message on Friday evening. Sometimes we start days or even weeks ahead on messages. I'm currently working on something for the first day of unleavened bread. Started that about a week and a half ago. Those who clean the hall start ahead of the Sabbath. They don't wait until the Sabbath. Those who do the mowing, they prepare for the Sabbath ahead of time. Now, we had some rough weather this week. We had a lot of rain, so it looks like the grass didn't quite get mowed, but we'll take care of that as soon as the weather cooperates. You can't do what you can't do. As I mentioned to Mr. Willoughby today, we were talking. But there's some work that needs to be set up. You have to get things organized for the video broadcast so that folks online can capitalize and be able to hear live messages. But by and large, we recognize that the Sabbath is a rest from all the labors and the work that we have the other 6 days of the week. It's an opportunity and a chance to slow it down, and you just enjoy the time with your family and your church brethren. You know, keeping the Sabbath should focus on worshiping God, first and foremost. Secondarily, we should focus on serving the brother and their spiritual needs in some form or fashion. We're going to cover some areas in which we can do that a little later on. A third principle, we are commanded to gather together. We are to assemble with others for worship on the Sabbath. Leviticus chapter 23 deals with holy convocations. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord You shall proclaim to be holy convocations. There's that word, convocations. These are my feasts, just like we saw in Exodus 26, or Leviticus 26, rather, where it's called my Sabbath. Here it's called my feast. Here God is outlining the feast days to Moses, and he declares, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So this is a day for coming together. If you look up the word convocation, it means a large formal assembly of people. You know, when you think about it, you can keep or you can break the other 9 commandments all by yourself. But in order to congregate and to keep the Sabbath, to congregate on the Sabbath, you need others. It's the only commandment that really we need others. You can do the others by yourself. But the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath or assembling together or convoking, if you will, requires others in order for us to fulfill that command. And it is a command. It is a requirement for us to congregate. Those who choose not to come when they have a choice to clearly do so are missing out on an important aspect of the Sabbath day. And I'm not referring to those who want to come but can't be here, but to those who could come but choose not to for whatever reason, really aren't following this aspect of making the Sabbath day a holy convocation. You have to assemble together in order to have a congregation, a holy assembly, a holy congregation. And if it wasn't important to God, he wouldn't have highlighted and outlined it here where he discusses all of his feasts. The ones that he refers to as my feast. The seventh day is a Sabbath of holy rest. It's a holy convocation. There is an importance associated with congregating. Again, we need others in order to honor and to be able to keep to the full extent the meaning of the Sabbath day in this area. It brings a rejuvenation when we can fellowship and spend the time with others. If we can be there, there is a tremendous blessing that is poured upon those who do congregate or assemble. You know, the Hebrew word for convocation is M-I-Q-R-A, which means a rehearsal, an assembly, or a convocation. Reading from Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary, they have this to say about the word M-I-Q-R-A, mikra. It is a public worship service, a convocation. The word implies the product of an official summons to worship. Convocation, in one of its 23 appearances, mikra refers to Sabbaths as convocation days, and they quote Leviticus 23 and verse 2. So it is a summons to meet. You know, the word implies an official summons to worship. Summons is a call by an authority to appear. You appear to come and do something. It's requiring you to have an official action of some type. Let's notice a passage over in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 23. Again, I know these are familiar passages. These are familiar passages, but I'm bringing us along to the point that I really want to talk about, a topic that I really feel is important. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. One of the meanings for this word exhort is to be of good. We are to exhort one another. We are to be of good. We are to comfort one another, especially as we see the day approaching. You know, I don't think it's too hard to see that this world is in a spiral downward, going down. And it's even more important for us to be able to assemble together, to lift each other up, to do good for one another, to encourage, to lift up, to help push others forward, to urge, to press, or even to drive others on if necessary. As verse 24 says, we are to consider one another. Let us think about and reflect the fact that we need to help others along the Christian walk. So with these thoughts in mind, let's state our fourth principle, or the key area, the notice about the Sabbath, and that we recognize point number four is that the Sabbath is a time to fellowship, to exhort and to encourage one another. So there's at least four different principles we can pull out from the Sabbath. We are to cease from work. It is to be a day of rest. We are to congregate, and we are to exhort one another on the Sabbath day. So now let's consider the when question. Most of us know this, but when is the Sabbath? When is the Sabbath? Genesis chapter 1. And let's notice verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 8, and God called a firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. In verse 13, so the evening and the morning were the third day after those events occurred. Verse 19, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23, so the evening and the morning was the fifth day. And after God created man, we find this in verse 31. And God saw that everything he had made, indeed it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. So notice that the days consist of the evening. And they run from sunset to sunset. And just to make sure that there's no ambiguity concerning this, let's look at these feast days that were outlined over in Leviticus 23. Let's notice a passage of verse 32 here. It shall be Leviticus 23 and verse 32. It shall be a Sabbath, a solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls, talking about the Day of Atonement, of course. From the ninth day at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. This is a special Sabbath, we understand, is the Day of Atonement, but again, we keep it from evening to evening. Now, I'm going to defer the where part until just a little bit later because it ties into the second half that I want to build up to. But now let's consider the why part. So we'll defer the where part. Why do we keep the Sabbath? Why does God give us the Sabbath day? Why does he give us the Sabbath command? There's many reasons. Exodus 20, we read this earlier, but let's just go back to it real quickly. Exodus 20 in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in it, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it. The Sabbath is a reminder of God's creation, is a reminder that God is the creator. He is the author and the giver of life. He created this world and us for a reason. You know, we have a beautiful world, don't we? I noticed on the way over here, the blue skies and the budding out trees, the grass is growing and it's green. But another reason to enjoy the Sabbath day is a reminder that we were delivered from slavery. So we have a beautiful world, but another reason we were delivered from slavery, over in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Again, we're going through reasons why did God give us the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy 5, they are reminders of the creation. They're reminders that we are delivered from slavery. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in verse 13, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates, and your male servant and your female servant may rest as well. And remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand and with outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath holy. So the Sabbath is a reminder that we were delivered from sin, just as we're going to be observing the night to be much observed, or much remembered, as some call it. That it reminds us that the Israelites came out of Egypt. Well, the Sabbath day also should be a reminder each and every week that we are delivered from sin. I'm just going to reference and read a couple of scriptures from Romans to you. The first is Romans 6 and verse 6. You don't have to turn there. Romans 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And then in Romans 11, verses 26 and 27. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this my covenant with him when I take away their sins. You know, as a time of physical rest, it also symbolizes the spiritual kingdom of God, that we will be able to rest from man's evil work, if you will. We look forward to that, and I will talk more about that as we get over in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 a little later in the second half. We've already covered the fact that this was a day to congregate, to convoke, to have a convocation, a time to assemble together, to worship God. We even sang about it, some of the songs I noticed, that we're here to worship God. We are to learn and to fellowship on the Sabbath day. So we will touch about this as well in the second half. We'll also talk about the how part, things that we can specifically do as we go about the holy time that we find on the Sabbath. Okay, with this background in mind, I think this was a review for most of us, but I wanted for it to come to this point. I wanted us to be reminded of why we did have the Sabbath so we can get to the heart of the message today. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20, and let's look at it a little more detail. Exodus chapter 20. You know, these were extraordinary times when God was giving the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel. Over in verse 16 of chapter 19, let's actually begin there first. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. This was the giving of the Ten Commandments. The Israelites knew that and recognized this wasn't a man that was speaking. This was God Almighty. The earth shook, and it trembled as these extraordinary events were linked with the very presence of God in their sight. Exodus 20 now. Let's pick it up with the giving of the Sabbath day. We read this a moment ago. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. And then after remaining commandments were given, the last six there, this wondrous show continued. Verse 18, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled, and they stood afar off. And he said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will hear, but let God not speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. God has come to test you, and that his fear may be upon you, that you may not sin. But notice that Moses said, God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, not only in the Sabbath day, but including the Sabbath day. It includes all the Ten Commandments. God is testing us to see how we respond to the commandments that he has thundered to Israel and thus given to us. Well, let's talk about the keeping of God's law as it pertains to the Sabbath commandment. You know, the Sabbath is a test every week as we head to the kingdom of God. God is measuring us each and every week. Every week, God has a 24-hour period that he calls holy time. He sanctified it, and he set it apart. He tells us not to work. He tells us to rest. He tells us to congregate. He tells us to encourage and exhort one another in fellowship. How do we approach the Sabbath? Do we prepare as much as we can ahead of time? Do we think about the Sabbath before it arrives? Do we anticipate and look forward to the Sabbath? Exodus 31, let's notice verse 14. Exodus 31 and verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does not work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on a Sabbath day, he shall be surely put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It's a perpetual covenant. You know, our Heavenly Father loves us as his children. He's interested in our growth, and he sets before us the Sabbath day each and every week to see how we're doing with this test. How do we do on the Sabbath? What do we think about on the Sabbath? 1 Peter chapter 4, there's usually a negative connotation when the word judgment comes up, but 1 Peter chapter 4 shouldn't be that way if we're doing the right things. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? You know, judgment is not condemnation or something that is severe. But as Deuteronomy chapter 8 points out, God wants to know what's in our hearts. He wants to know whether you will keep his commandments or not, as verse 2 of Deuteronomy 8 points out. In verse 3 of Deuteronomy 8 talks about us not living by bread alone, but by living by every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. By living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And of course, Christ in Luke 4 and in Matthew 4, when he was tempted by the devil, he referred back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. But God is watching to sort our hearts, to sift and examine the hearts before the judgment seat, as the old song used to go, glory, glory, hallelujah. God wants to know what you are thinking, what you are doing, in particular, in his holy time. We don't often think of the fact that God is watching us all the time. God is observing. God is evaluating us, what we are learning, and what we are practicing, and how we are applying what God gives to us as time goes on. How we use these 24 hours every week shows God how much we are preparing for his family and his coming kingdom. God gives us the Sabbath day for us to evaluate, to gauge our progress, to analyze how we are doing. And as we advance in our understanding, we should know how to better apply the holy time that we have each and every week. Our Sabbath is reflective of the relationship that you and I have. What we do on the Sabbath is reflective of the relationship that we have with our great God. That is to say, how we keep the Sabbath shows God a lot about us. You know, God gave the Israelite manna in the wilderness. They lost sight of the Sabbath while they were in captivity. And God made it very clear which day was the seventh day. Let's look at Exodus 16 and verse 4. Exodus 16 and verse 4, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. This was given as a test to them, that he could see what they would do during those 24 hours. And he provided a way that they didn't have to go out on the Sabbath day. He told them to go out and gather twice the portion, twice the amount on the sixth day of the week. And it was the only day of the week, the evening, that the manna would not spoil. If you gathered and tried to keep it from Monday to Tuesday, it would be rotten and would stink the next day. But on the Sabbath day, it was a miracle. The manna did not rot. It stayed intact. It stayed fresh. It stayed good. That was a miracle each and every week. And for those who didn't want to take the trouble to prepare, they went out on the Sabbath day when they didn't gather enough for both days, and they were empty on the Sabbath. They went out, and guess what? There wasn't any manna. It was another miracle. It rained manna 6 days of the week, but on the Sabbath, it didn't rain manna. So on that holy day, the manna was to be preserved so that it would last. Verse 5, and on the sixth day, just to confirm this, we shall prepare what you shall bring in. It shall be twice as much as what they gather daily. And then in verse 27, now it happened that some of the people went out on the Sabbath day to gather, but they found none. Some wouldn't go out, and again, they went home empty, if you will. Now in verse 28, but the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out in his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. It was the beginning of a divine revelation here. God watches us to learn something about our character on the Sabbath day. God sees us each and every day, doesn't he? He sees us in our living rooms, in our dens, in our man caves, if you will, or even our bathrooms. God is with us at restaurants. He listens to and he watches our conversation, how we treat the workers, what our conversation entails, how we handle disappointment if that happens. God sees us at our workplace. He watches us when we get on our phones or handle strife or how we handle strife or turmoil at work. He listens to our commitments that we make to others. When we are driving, we take God with us. When we are baptized, Christ states, I and my Father will make my abode with you. We take God with us when we're driving. It's just something to remember. God is watching. God is watching. The fullness of God dwells within us. He knows everything that goes on in our minds. God can hear our thoughts. And I've also thought about that. Sometimes, you know, if God can read our thoughts, and, you know, it's a scary thought sometimes. It just is a scary thought. But he is evaluating our hearts 24/7. He watches to see how we are growing on the Sabbath day. He observes to see how much we prepare for the Sabbath. He watches what we do or perhaps what we don't do. Over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 11. And I gave them my statutes, and I showed them my judgments, but which if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths. It's a sign between them and me that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies us. You know, just as God sanctified that 24-hour period in order for us to observe that holy time each and every week, God gives us the Sabbaths as a sign between us and him to realize that we are sanctified by God. We should be reminded on the Sabbath that sanctification comes from our Creator. To remind us that we are his people. It is God who sanctifies us, who sets us apart for a holy purpose. We are to be mindful and appreciative of the fact that God has called us. He's working with us each and every day, and he's working through us. The sign of the Sabbath is an individual thing. It identifies God, and it identifies the people of God. I mean, God has many different covenants, but this is a special covenant outside the Old and the New Testament. We'll talk about that momentarily. But we can personalize that. It's not between us and God. It's between me and God. It's between Dave and God. It's between Dennis and God, or Ted and God, or Garrett and God. The Sabbath is very, very important to God. Yet the house of Israel walked against me in the wilderness, verse 13 of Ezekiel 20. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defile my Sabbath, declares God. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But the Sabbath is very, very important to God. How we keep the Sabbath says something about us to God. It betrays how much we want to be in God's family. Every Sabbath, God sees something about us. He's aware of what we do each and every Sabbath. He states that he knows our needs, of course, ahead of time. Nonetheless, we are to go to him in prayer, to ask, seek, and knock. But verse 13 points out that he poured out fury on them because of what they were doing on the Sabbaths. We must be careful, brethren, not to defile the Sabbath in any way. I recently started shutting down social media on the Sabbath. And the first week I did this, I found myself going out even without thinking about it. It's so automatic. It's involuntary. It's instinctive. I did it like 4 times a day. Whoop, I'm not supposed to be there. I do it the other 6 days of the week, and before I know it, I'm out there, and I shut it down. But it happens so quickly. It's hard for me to make this change on the Sabbath. And I know some who are by themselves have told me that social media is their outlet to the church and to their friends. And if someone can go out there and not get distracted, then more power to them. I really honestly say that. But I have recently come to the realization I am not one of those individuals. I cannot go out there and not be distracted. The ads, the reels, the images, the pictures, the talk about sports all derail me from my relationship with God. I personally can't handle it. But since I've made a decision to not go out on these social sites, just on 6 days of the week instead of 7, I have found it tremendously helps me stay focused on what I feel I need to think about, what is more right for me to think about and do. But God's very clear here in Ezekiel. He doesn't want us to defile his Sabbaths. I personally found that social media causes me to think outside the areas that I need to be focused on about the Sabbath. So please understand, I am not saying that you should go out and not get on social media on the Sabbath. I've just come to realize this past year, that I have to clean up my thinking and my thoughts and my actions on the Sabbath, and I need to do that. I feel it's the right move for me. And so far, it's been a great, wise move, by the way. I told you we would get back to the book of Hebrews a little later. Hebrews chapter 3, we were chapter 10 earlier. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 7, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath that they should not enter my rest. Here God is talking about the Sabbath day and the Old Testament Israel not making it into the promised land. But at the same time, I feel that this is dual in nature. I consider that just as some of the Israelites missed out on the promised land, I feel like it is possible for some of us to miss out on our inheritance, our spiritual promised land, if you will. You know, the remainder of chapter 3 goes into the promised land of ancient Israel, them entering into the promised land. Then in verse 1 of chapter 4, talks about the same type of rest that was referred to in chapter 3. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of those have come short of it. The word for rest is katapausos, spelled K-A-T-A, K-A-T-A-P-A-U-S-I-S, K-A-T-A-P-A-U-S-I-S. But it means reposting down, that is, it means abode or a rest. So let's drop down now to verse 7 because the impetus changes. Another word is being used for the word rest. Let's see what that word is. In verse 7, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We can't harden our hearts against the Sabbath day, against the day of rest. For if Joshua had given them rest, they would not have afterward has spoken of another day. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Here the word changes meaning. There remains a rest. The word for rest here is sabbatismos. The word means Sabbath keeping. There remains a Sabbath keeping. We move from the physical to the spiritual. In his notes on Hebrews 4 and verse 9, Albert Barnes says, Sabbatismo means Sabbatism or a keeping of the Sabbath, as it is rendered in the margin, the King James Version of the Bible. The meaning of Hebrews 4 in verse 9 says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, the English Standard Version. You know, Israel didn't make it to their inheritance because of their disobedience. And the point that the author of Hebrews is making, what God inspired him to say, is that if we want to make it into our rest, if we want to keep the Sabbath, which is a type of the millennium, it's a type of the kingdom of God. So another reason why we keep the Sabbath, it points us to the kingdom of God. It is reflective of the kingdom of God. It reflects creation, what God did there when he rested, but it also points us to God's kingdom. It points us to the future kingdom of God. A very important thing to keep in mind. You know, there's something additional that goes beyond the Old Covenant, and that can be found over in Exodus 31. Exodus 31, you know, maybe we were over here before, but just want to emphasize this. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 12, the Lord spoke to Moses, speaking to the children of Israel. Exodus 31 and verse 13, now, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You know, this is very different from the old covenant or the new covenant. It's a Sabbath covenant. It's the agreement that is a sign between God and his people. It is a sign that is very special between us and God. Think about it for a moment. Why would God want to have a Sabbath sign when he already had a Sabbath command? We see from Exodus 31 that the Sabbath is an identifying sign of God's people. It's not a sign of the Old Covenant or the New Covenant for that matter. It is the sign of people. It is the sign between God and his people. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Whoever profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, if that person shall be cut off from among his people, work shall be done for 6 days, but the Sabbath is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations as a perpetual covenant. This is not until conditions warrant a change, like when the Holy Spirit comes and we take on the new covenant. This is a perpetual covenant, a covenant outside the covenants, the previous covenant of the old law and the new law. It's a perpetual covenant, as we read in verse 16. It is a sign between me, in verse 17, and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. This is how important the Sabbath is to God. You know, the Jews primarily went into captivity for two reasons. One reason was idolatry, and the other reason was Sabbath keeping. And since the Jews finally came to the realization this is why they went into captivity, they came up with all these do's and don'ts, all these rules, these categories of what you can do and what you shouldn't do on the Sabbath day. Some of those areas, you can look it up online, it's not hard to find, were carrying, what you could carry, what you couldn't, burning, extinguishing, finishing. Sometimes you can finish stuff and sometimes you can't. Erasing, writing, cooking, washing, what you can wash, what you can't, sewing, tearing, and the list goes on. You can look up the other 29 on your own. But they had so many do's and don'ts, it's understandable why Christ labeled them as hypocrites. What they did physically, they did not do spiritually. They may have cleansed the cup outwardly, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. This is why the Sabbath was so important. It's why the Sabbath is so important. What we think, what we do, it's an internal thing. What we do is an internalization as we connect with God, our relationship on Him. What we do on the Sabbath is reflective of that relationship. It's what comes from without a man or a woman that defiles a person that we can read over in Mark chapter 7. Let's notice another point about the Sabbath, Leviticus 19. This is interesting to me. Leviticus chapter 19, we'll just pick it up in verse 1 and 2 here. Leviticus chapter 19, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy.'" You shall be holy. How do we become holy? Well, the following verses tell us how. "Every one of you shall revere his father and mother," verse 3, "and keep my Sabbaths." Notice how he combines the honoring your mother and father with the keeping the Sabbath, "for I am the Lord your God." Sometimes, you know, God takes certain things. He takes the fifth commandment here, honoring your parents, and he connects with the keeping of the Sabbath. You know, the keeping of the Sabbath should include honoring our spiritual father. The Sabbath allows us to be able to draw closer to our Father each and every Sabbath. Who's our spiritual mother? The church. Who's the head of the church? Christ. We can follow the words of Christ. When the disciples came to Christ over in Matthew chapter 25, when he asked him, they asked him, "When did we see you hungry?" after he spoke for a while, "or thirsty, or a stranger?" And Christ said, "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me." When we do it to the least of the brethren, then we do it to Christ. So we can do good to others on the Sabbath day. This is honoring our spiritual mother, our brothers and sisters within the faith. So let's briefly talk about the how-to part. How does God want us to keep the Sabbath day? By honoring God first and foremost, by worshiping Him, by gathering together into places He places His name, and sing praises to Him, by not working but resting from our regular daily employment, from our chores, from our cares, and the entertainments of life, by assembling for worship and fellowship. As Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, we can do extra prayer, Bible study, and meditate on God's way. We can spend extra time with our family, our extended family, our friends, building godly relationships, enjoying the beauty of God and the creation whenever possible. But the Bible gives us general principles on how to have a restful, joyous spiritual Sabbath. It doesn't give us a lot of do's and don'ts, if you will, but it does answer specific questions. Christ showed that the oral traditions of the Pharisees went beyond the Bible. The actions and the teachings had become restrictive burdens, setting up unmerciful rules about the Sabbath that God did not agree with, and Christ called them out on that. But as Jesus explained, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, not only to animals, but to people. It's an excellent time to catch up with others, phone calls or cards. So one more question to answer, and that's the where part. Where did God expect the Sabbath to be kept? Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56, beginning of verse 6. And the sons of the foreigner, also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain to make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. God intends for the Sabbath one day to go out to all nations. He's looking forward to starting that with the millennium and then expanding from there. Then in the last chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one moon to another, that from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Eternal. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed against me, for the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, for they are abhorrence to all faith. But all are supposed to eventually and will eventually come to worship God, or better come to learn to worship God. So kind of wrap this up, brethren. You know, when the mountains quake back in Exodus 19 and 20, you know, there was trepidation and fear in the hearts of the ancient Israelites. You know, we don't quite have that same fear today. Instead, we are to have a reverence for the laws of God, including the holy Sabbath day, doing the things differently than what we do the other 6 days of the week. The Sabbath is very important to God. It's a test commandment. God measures our growth by how we use this 24-hour period. He watches us to see how we handle the holy time that he has sanctified on the Sabbath. How we keep the Sabbath says something about us to God Almighty. It portrays how much we want to be in God's family. Every Sabbath, God sees something about us. He's very aware of what we do each and every Sabbath. God is watching. God is observing. God is evaluating us, what we are learning, what we're practicing, how we're applying these things in our lives. How we use these 24 hours each and every week shows God how much we are preparing for his family and his coming kingdom. God gives us this day for us to evaluate ourselves, to gauge our progress. It doesn't just have to occur during a Passover examination, but we have the Holy Sabbath day, a 24-hour period of holy time that we can do this. And as we advance in our understanding, we should know how to better apply the holy time that God gives to us. Our Sabbath is reflective of the relationship that we have with Almighty God. Again, how we keep the Sabbath says something about us. God evaluates our development as we keep the Sabbath. There's a special covenant that is a sign that marks God's people. You know, just as there's a sign of the beast and who identifies the men of the devil, God has a identifying sign of his very own people. There's evidence in the Bible that this sign will be tested. In Matthew 24, we are to pray that our flight won't be on in winter or on the Sabbath day. It will be interesting to see how this test will evolve for us in the years to come. But the Sabbath was created and is there to serve us, and in doing so, we serve the great God in return, and others, the great God who made the Sabbath and who sanctified it. Let's conclude with another passage found here in Isaiah. We don't have to turn too far. We are going to read Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. I'll conclude with that, but we're not to do any business on the Sabbath, nor are we to do our own pleasures or any kind of human endeavors. Why? So we can reflect on the ways of God. The Sabbath should be a delight for us, combining worship with what God has provided for us. Isaiah chapter 58, again, ending with verses 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.